football on off the ball.
Toby, I'm just a little bit standoffish, to be honest. And I just said that to the lads in the dressing room. We're getting too much respect. And for me, on a football pitch, when you give teams too much respect, it's a fear. Yeah, didn't like it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
LOI Late Night on Off The Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol-free.
Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.
All right, let's get this show on the road. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore on Off The Ball, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. It is Cameron once again in the hot seat. Don't worry, the reign of anyone else is over and I am back in the chair tonight. I'm sure you're all delighted. I'm sure you're all delighted to not be at all together now, where Off The Ball have, by all accounts, had a really good night. But we're all together now. We're here to chat through some League of Ireland action, both tonight and over the last week with the European games. Delighted to say Shane Keegan is on the line. Good evening, Shane.
Cameron, how are you getting on?
Not too bad. Johnny Ward, how are you?
I'm good, Cameron. Not at all together now, but yeah, I trust tonight's only getting going there.
Yeah, well, it's only getting going here as well, because if you want to get your League of Ireland thoughts off your chest this evening, we want to hear them. Request to speak using the mic icon in the bottom left corner, and we'll get you on the line as soon as we can. Let's go through some of the results this evening then to kick things off. So, big game down in Dalymount Park. A big goal, you feel, in the context of both Bohemians and Drogheda United season. Josh Thomas scoring to give Drogheda United a 1-0 win, their first away win in 9 against Bohemians, who really could have done with a win tonight to keep any sort of a title challenge going, you'd have to say. Cork, down the bottom end of the table, have their first win since April in the league, at least. They beat Galway United by a 0-0. Another Josh Fitzpatrick getting the goal in that one. Going through some of the European games from the week. So, nil all was how it finished between Shamrock Rovers and St. Joseph's of Gibraltar at Tallaght Stadium. I forgot there because, by all accounts, an incredibly forgettable second leg. Rovers had done all the work there in that 4-0 win. And Pat leaving it so late. Captain Fantastic Joe Redmond equalising against Kalju in Estonia before Jake Mulroney got the goal in extra time to send them through. And of course, Shelburne crashed out to Karabag in Azerbaijan. To the first division then, before we get into some thoughts. Bray Wanderers 3-2 winners over Treaty United. Had been trailing, so came back to get the win there. I'm sure we will hear the full account from Seagull Chat later. Cove Ramblers were 3-1 winners over Longford Town. Kerry were 4-0 winners over Athlone Town. Dundalk come away from UCD with the win 1-0 there. And Wexford 2, Finn Harps 1 was how it finished at Ferry Carrick Park. Shane Keegan, what were you watching this evening?
I was watching the most Drogheda United of Drogheda United wins you're ever likely to see, Cameron. So it was. And I mean that absolutely as a compliment. I don't know even if smash and grab is the correct phrase to use, because it wasn't like they were absolutely ripped asunder and stole it. But they were definitely on the lesser side of the balance of chances, in fairness. They just defend so well. And on the occasion where their keeper needed to save them, he stepped up and saved them. And the longer you leave this Drogheda team in any game, the chances just go up and up that they're going to come up with something and pick you off on usually either a counter-attack or a set piece. And that was the case yet again. Like, I see Keith Tracy gave Josh Keighley man of the match. Josh Keighley was probably getting man of the match before he had the biggest moment of the game. Never mind after he had the biggest moment of the game. Stepping in, winning that tackle brilliantly. And listen, the pass, you know, if it was Dara Markey, you'd say, well, you know, that's Dara Markey. That's what we expect of him. But for all the stuff that you credit Josh Keighley with being brilliant at, I'd keep calling him Josh Keighley. Sorry, apologies. All the things you'd credit him with, that's the Spurs part of my brain. I was running overdrive there. for all the things you would credit him with, because he's having an outstanding season. This just wasn't an outstanding performance tonight. For all the things you'd credit Conor Keighley with, slide rule passes through the heart of the opposition's defence wouldn't have been up on my list of things I would have immediately sprung to think of. but it's a brilliant pass. It's an absolutely brilliant, brilliant pass. And look, I think Thomas's first touch is so good that it allows him to have not so good second and third touches, and the ball still end up in the back of the net. The first touch was the absolute key. He gets it out from under his feet brilliantly on the move with the first one. It shows a good bit of strength. I think he kind of stumbles on it nearly from there, but as I say, it still ends up in the back of the net. And it's just Drogheda doing what Drogheda do. And no, I'm probably more guilty than anybody of saying it can't last, it can't last, it can't last. If they qualify for Europe this year via the league, given everything that's gone on around them, given they started yet another season as pretty much favourites to go straight back down, I genuinely think it's on a par with what Duffer achieved last year, to be honest.
I mean, we're probably going to get the thoughts of Anthony Kiernan in a second, our Bose correspondent, as per usual, and we'll get him in a few minutes. But as you say, Shane, like, it's another unlikely, wow, they surely can't do it this week, Drogs. And especially, like, listening to Richie Towell, who was doing the commentary with Stephen Doyle on News Talk tonight for us, when he was previewing this, he said, like, this is really set up. It's going to be very tough for Drogheda because they've had that European break where they've had no European football. So they might have been a little bit undercooked. And of all the teams you wouldn't want to face with a bit of ring rust, you don't want to be staring into the likes of Cullen Whelan, Dale Rooney, James Clark and Ross Tierney and what they offer. So...
And Cameron, you didn't even mention the main man there, who yet again tonight was Dawson Devoy. I mean,
yeah,
Dawson Devoy was outstanding tonight. Like, he gives a pass. Dennison pulls off an absolutely top class save from Rossi, but the pass from Dawson Devoy through to Rossi, it would be gone viral all over the internet if it was a Kevin De Bruyne pass or a Leo Messi pass or something like that. It's an absolutely outstanding kind of half reverse, takes about four different players out with the one ball through. I mean, he was top class. Like, this, you know, it's hard. It'd be interesting if we do have any Bulls fans on tonight to talk about it, because I think it would be very harsh of Bulls fans to be hard on their side tonight. I think they did an awful lot right. And I think it was more down to heroic defending and goalkeeping that they didn't find the back of the net tonight. Should they have defended the goal better? Even that's hard to say. Like, they were trying to play a pass through that superbly intercepted with a tackle, and it's a superb counter-attack. I'm not even sure what more they could have done there. So, like, they have to feel hard done by, but... like, I don't know what more you can say about this Drogheda side. Like, they're gonna cost me a solid fortune. I had Bowes back tonight. I don't know about Johnny, but it's just ridiculous. Like, they just keep making them a fool of me.
Well, I believe that's your cue, Anthony. I mean, by all accounts, it seems as though when we were previewing this game, it played out exactly as we'd have predicted, where Drogheda sat back, they gave Bohemians pretty much the free rein in the middle of the park. And it was just, like, to quote Ray Hudson, they were just hanging on like loose teeth.
Yeah. Hey, lads, how's it going? Yeah, look, like, it was a smash and grab. As much as we don't like to paraphrase them sort of stuff, but, like, it's not the first time Drogheda have done that. Like, listen to Kevin Doherty's interview there. Like, it's the third 1-0 win in a row in Daily Mount they've had over Bowes. So, like, as much as it wasn't the worst Bowes performance we've ever seen either. As much as we like to say, yeah, look, the writing's on the wall. It's kind of like, that's what Drogheda do. That's how good they are. That's how Conor Keighley was. I think the biggest thing for Bowes tonight was Douglas James Taylor was unavailable. I think he was ill, and that killed him, because Colin Whelan likes to come towards the ball, and all the other good guys that you're after talking about like to have that little intricacies around the box. Like, Conor Keighley looked like an absolute hero tonight, and he's underrated in the league. And I think I mentioned him the last day we were talking about how I'd like Bowes to sign. But I don't know if I'm stating the obvious here, but nobody made a run across him tonight, and we whipped balls into the box and literally made him look like a hero, because he was able to defend everything. Every last ball that came into the box hit Conor Keighley's head. a great player, but nobody challenged him. Nobody ran across. Nobody done anything out of the ordinary. Nobody done anything that wasn't for, well, it wasn't for the lack of effort, but it wasn't inspired. Like, and Bows fans aren't going to like this, but there was no Rory Gaffney running in and muscling them off the ball and making that run to take them out of game. And that's happened three times this year for Bows. So do we say, Bows done everything right and they couldn't have done any more? I don't agree with that. I think, like, let's call a spade. Does everything Bowes could have done there tonight. They could have changed it up. They could have played with two false nines. They could have known that putting the ball in on Conor Keeley's head is going to result in a low block and the drugs dropping off and hitting us on the counter-attack. So I think it's a little bit of naivety from Bowes tonight. But at the same time, that's the way they play. They don't change the way they play. They stick to their guns. They do what they do. They're not going to be innovative because they think they're coming up against a superior team. They're just gonna keep banging the drum and hope they wear a team down. My biggest thing tonight was that I wasn't happy with was, and I don't like doing this, but like, it's not a criticism of the referee or draw it, but there seems to be a lot of easy fouls and a lot of easy outs based on where the referee was based on the pitch. And that just slows the game down and makes for, I'm not necessarily meaning that that the referee slowed the game down, but it just means that if the referee is 40 yards to run and does a body to body, does whistles blown, does game stop for 2 or 3 minutes, and the football seems that little bit more mundane and that little bit more, and it plays into that sort of playing the way Drogheda like to play. And it's not a criticism of Drogheda either, but they like to bypass the midfield. And Shane, you can back me up on this or give your opinion on this, but Drogheda are really good at playing back to front really quickly and putting under pressure. Bowes played really well and defended really well for 99.9% of that game, but it's the 1% that you know that Drogheda are in the game, and we've seen that before with them, that Bowes struggle to deal with that 1%, that one, keep the back door shut and even come away with a point tonight, and your momentum keeps going. But again, it's neither here nor there. What do you think, Shane?
Yeah, look, it's I suppose what I'm saying, that I'm not sure they could have done more. Of course they could have done more. They didn't win the game. So certainly if you're a Bowes fan, you're obviously looking and saying, well, unless we win the game, we didn't do enough. From a manager's perspective, yeah, you know, you're setting up the team to ideally have the majority of possession, to ideally force the opposition's keeper to be more active than your keeper, to try and spend as much time in the final third of the opposition's pitch as you possibly can. All of those targets have been achieved. But they, for whatever reason, be it, you know, not being clinical enough, be it good defending, good goalkeeping, as you say, the one bit I would definitely agree with you on is maybe it was somewhat predictable, or became somewhat predictable, and that would probably have been the biggest frustration, I would think, as a Bowes fan. But at the same time, if I'm Rennie and I'm coming away, I'm scratching my head a little bit thinking, I think that's
more on the
players tonight than it was on me.
Look, the only thing I would say to that, without getting bogged down in tactics and stuff, is he played inverted wingers. And this is not a criticism of Anil Reynolds, because I think that's the way you win games against that. You keep the tide coming and you keep the pressure on, and eventually a mistake comes when a team is set up like that. But at no stage did any of the wingers get to the byline and whip it back. Do you know, like, Parsons was there, and I like Parsons. He's a great player. I mentioned it before on here. I think he's a different element of Bowes, like a new player. But at no stage, because he was on his right foot, at no stage did he get to the end line and have them running towards their own goal, and then you get it into the back. Well, one stage he did. Ross Tierney had a volley to hit the side net. But I think, look, we probably are getting bogged down in the kind of intricacies of it. The reality of it is, Drogheda had 9 out of 10 performance across their back five or their back three, whatever way you put it. That lad they got, I think they got him out of America, that Lamb lad that played left full. He is unbelievable. He is the signing of the season for me. He never put a foot wrong. He's good on the ball. He defends well. He's good in the air. He never gets when he's beaten. He always gets back in. So there's a lot of credit needs to go to Drogheda there on that, to be honest with you as well. So it's not only Bo's kind of obviousness that stops them. It's Drogheda kind of saying, yeah, this is what we're going to do. We're not under the pump. And Kevin Doherty needs a bit of credit for that. But I just think, looking at Europe this week, and I watched a heap of games this week in Europe, looking at getting us forward and getting us where we want to be as a league, I think that way, that old school Roddy Collins sort of mid-90s sort of League of Ireland way we played, if we go back to that and we're bigging that up, are we going backwards in the great scheme of things?
Yeah. He's an interesting one, Cameron. Own Lamb. Orange County is who Drogheda United signed Own Lamb from. That's not a club I would have been too aware of.
No, the only Orange County I've heard of is the Real Housewives. So there you go.
So I don't know what the connection is there, or whether there's a local agent that was touting him around, but I have seen him once or twice. I would agree with Anthony. He does look a very good player, that's for sure. So well done to whoever in the scouting department came up with that one.
Anthony, we'll leave it there. So thanks a million for jumping on.
Not a bother, lads. And well done to all the European teams there this week. Shells will hopefully have a good run in the next round, and they get a good draw in the Europa Conference. And Pats and Rovers done well this week, so that's a positive, I suppose, from this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Richie Tallow was saying it to Steve-O earlier that it'd be great if all three could get through. I mean, of the three ties, you wouldn't expect that Pats would have, they might just run out of juice, even if they give a really good performance against Besiktas. It just feels like they've enough to get over the line. They're not totally terrifying. It's not a David and Goliath thing. They do have a couple of good players, but yeah, you would think that it's maybe the best chance at Shamrock Rovers. And yeah, if Shelburne have learned the lessons that Joey O'Brien feels they've learned, there's no reason to suggest that they won't be able to maybe do a run there. Just before we get on to European football and get another caller on here, Bray Wanderers, I think, is the next port of call this evening, Shane. We will know a lot more based on how Sunday goes between Derry and Shamrock Rovers as to whether there is still a title race on. But maybe it's the battle for Europe. If, 3-2 is how we're going to go with this, maybe that's the bit of excitement that the league needs towards the business end of the season.
Yeah, I think it is, to be honest with you, Cameron. We obviously had to survive without your presence last Friday night, and we had Barry on, and we were just chatting about how I can't even, to be honest with you, even if Derry did get a result against Shamrock Rovers on Sunday, I still can't see how that gap gets closed, to be honest. So for me, despite tonight's result, it's too little too late, I would have thought, for Cork. So for me, top and bottom are done. It's the bit just under top and the bit just above the bottom that I think are going to provide the entertainment of the season. Like you've said, Bowes, Derry, Drogheda, which of them is going to miss out? Can Shells potentially still launch a late surge to break into that tree? And then down the bottom, and look, obviously we'll get to Johnny, and Johnny, I'm sure, had eyes on Galway. Things have taken a major slide for them. Are they strong enough to hold Sligo off? So I think we will still have interest. I just don't think it's going to be in the top and the bottom spot.
Johnny, I assume you were watching tonight's game between Cork and Galway. I was chatting to you earlier and you said you'd be double screening. So I hope that wasn't a false promise. But if you were watching, what did you make of Cork first off after what's been an incredibly difficult week for them?
Yeah, sorry. Somebody called me on WhatsApp and it literally threw me off spaces for 10 minutes. So it took me ages and ages to get back in. So apologies for that. I was waiting to come on after watching the two games.
You were shadow banned, was it?
What's that?
You were shadow banned.
I was shadow banned, yeah. And it was, it's just very, very frustrating. But so anyway, Turner's Cross, I mean, I watched the game, I watched most of the game last week in Sligo Rovers, and it was a real sliding doors moment, Alex Nolan's shot off the bar. Because you're talking like an inch, maybe even a centimetre further downwards, and that ball has gone in off the crossbar. And Cork City have a 6-point swing on Sligo Rovers relative to what they have now. And as Shane says, like, you know, they do look doomed, because Sligo for one, do not look like a team that are going to start dropping points left, right and centre at all. Like, Sligo are one of the form teams in the league, 14 from 7. But Cork City absolutely played the other team who are falling off a cliff at the moment tonight in Galway United. And the last thing Galway United needed was that brilliant goal by Fitzpatrick on 5 minutes. Brendan Clark couldn't get to it at the shed end. And after that, it was kind of... just Galway United just couldn't really score, and they had the odd chance. Stephen Walsh in the first half had all of the play in the second half, but ultimately never really looked like scoring, and just our team on a massive, massive downer at the moment, like real lack of confidence, just really, really feeling it. They've sort of fallen off a cliff in terms of giving away really bad goals last week, and tonight's goal, there wasn't much they could do about it. But then to come out against Cork City, a team who've won two games going into tonight in the league all season. Obviously, the changes, Galway United have massively suffered from Moses' departure. And Greg Cunningham is having a poor season. And other little factors as well coming in now. The main factor being Ollie Horgan hasn't been around the last few games. For me, I think that's been a big loss, and they're feeling that as well. But tonight they huffed and they puffed, but just really, really poor. And the feeling from supporters would be quite low at the moment. In fairness to Cork City, lads, like, they, you know, there definitely reports about how the new regime has gone down there in terms of a manager who's kind of, it's his first big job, obviously, and David Myler has come in. There were obviously a couple of players have left, and it was the first victory for Nash tonight. But to be fair to the players, like, you couldn't say against Sligo Rovers, you couldn't say as much as they blew a 2-0 lead. It wasn't that they weren't trying. And tonight as well, like, Sean Maguire picked up a yellow card. They put themselves about. They really did give it a go. And just to at least close the gap to Sligo Rovers to 8 points gives them a chance. But at the moment now, if Cork City are to catch anyone, which I think is highly unlikely, for me, it's more likely to be Galway United and Sligo Rovers. This won't even be a contest who's finishing second last, the way their trajectories are at the moment. Like, Galway United are in an awful, awful run of form, and from a team that's been really hard to beat, they've really, really lost their mojo. Whereas Sligo Rovers at the moment are playing like a team that, like, I'd fancy them big time to get something against Shells tomorrow night, just because I didn't have a chance to talk about it. The main takeaway for me, and Shane, I kind of missed you maybe talking about the same thing about the Drogs game, was, like, you look at Pats at the moment and the way they defended last night, and I did the report in the game. Like, it seems an absolutely awful decision to let Keely go. Like, he was utterly outstanding tonight. Like, he's such a threat from corners, and he's gotten a lot of goals this season. But, like, he was a mountain at the back. His tackle on that little 1-2, was it on, I think it was on Clark, just when it was nil all around the hour mark. And then, like, if Stephen Kenny obviously let him go for whatever reason, or he wanted out, like, if he can clearly pass the ball, because his pass for the goal was, I mean, Dawson Devoy would have been proud of it. And I thought Drogheda were phenomenal to get a win there tonight, where they barely any of the territory, two or three chances in the whole game. And for me, looking at, like, Pats were a shambles defensively for the goals last night, and really could have done with Keely, who I thought, like, you look at Drogheda where they are in terms of budget, and the last, like, the absolute horror of the last 4 weeks in relative terms of not having a league game and having to go watch the other teams play in Europe, and how well Keely spoke after the game about what it meant to draw the players and how hard it was for them to miss out. I thought, like, he was a man mountain tonight, among others, and St. Pat's could badly, badly do with him.
Yeah, Shane has just dropped off there. We'll hopefully get back to him in a second. In the meantime, we will go over to Owen, who has been patiently waiting there, I believe, a Bray Wanderers fan. Good evening, Owen. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm buzzing after what just happened. But, yeah,
tell us what happened, because I was watching this game. Well, I was following along on LOI Connect, and it It sounded like an absolutely brilliant game.
It wasn't really that brilliant, honestly. We started out all right, kind of like in control, then Tralee took the lead. It was a bit of a counter-attack goal. It was good goal from them in the end. Then they gained a bit of control in the game, and then the big moment was we got on the counter-attack. Billy Neal was driving into the box, and it was kind of like a little tank. From where I was, it looked like a little just tangle of legs. And then for some reason, the referee decided to give a red card. If you see it, it's probably one of the worst of its decisions you'll ever see. It's absolutely shambolic. And it ruined the game from there.
Why did he give the red?
I think it was last man. Right. I think that's why. But if you look at the replay, that he was nowhere near the last man. There was like three or four players in and around Billy. Sand. And even then, it was inside the box as well to get that right. So he had three decisions to make, and he got them all really wrong. So obviously, from our side, we can't complain. And from there on, it was kind of like just a surge, trying to get that goal. We eventually got it. Just 2 minutes into the second half, free kick, a little rebound to Connor Knight. And from there, we kind of were pushing on for the winner. It wasn't really that much into it. It was kind of frustrating. And a little ball over the top, and Keane Curtis managed to chip it over Corey Chambers into the net. And from there on, it felt like Tralee, we just sat off way too much, and then Tralee got an equaliser, and it felt like we had 10 men. And then, very last second of the game, Justin Farisai to Richard Farisai, like a volley from a rebound from a free kick from Justin, hit off Richard and went into it, and yeah, the scenes were incredible.
It's a massive win, that, because, like, if, you know, the... Just to get that, but in the nature of it as well, you're playing over an hour against 10 men, and to close that gap to, you know, a somewhat manageable 6 points, maybe, or at least a feasible 6 points, is massive. And I'd say there was some crack when the goal went in.
Yeah, there was some crack. I was looking at live scores. I saw UCD went 1-1, and it was a little bit of a tease and went back straight to 0-1, apparently. And the Manog saved a late penalty for Dundalk, so... It's a bit of a killer, but yeah, it keeps us in there, 6 points. We're on our toughest run of games. Go to Finn Harps on Monday, then it's the big one. Cove Ramblers are home on Friday, and you feel like if someone can get a win out, that they're probably the main challengers to Dundalk for the rest of the season.
How in the name of God, like, and this with absolute respect to Bray, and with absolute respect to the fact that his brother is there, how has Justin Farisai ended up at Bray?
I don't know. Connections, I guess. Probably the lad just wants to play football, and
yeah,
had a chance at Bray, asked a question, and they just managed to sort it out, because obviously having Richard there helps a lot. So I guess he just wants to play his football and get himself going for the next few months.
Was he good tonight? Was he good tonight?
He did all right. Like, it's tough to kind of like judge and win a game like that where you're just pushing for a goal the whole time, but he seemed to do all right. He struck his volley really well, and thankfully it just bounced off his brother and went in. But I say we'll get more as time goes on.
Yeah. And listen, fair play to your honesty on the sending off. I mean, that was
God, it was the worst thing I've ever seen. It just ruined the game.
For a start, I don't know how. One, I don't know. I'm not even sure was it a foul. And secondly, if it was a foul, I couldn't figure out which. It was literally a toss of a coin as to which of the two treaty lads he felt had fouled him, because they were either side of him. I can't see. I thought it was a dreadful call. But look, he still had to capitalize on it. Many teams do struggle when they find themselves, and it looked like he'd maybe tossed it away. So no, like you said, look, I can't. I'm sure you're probably of a similar mind. I can't see, to be honest with you, how you catch Dundalk, to be honest. So really, like, the remainder of the season for yourselves and Cove is about, you know, getting yourselves, you know, in a point where you feel you're in the best possible form you can be in heading into a playoff, you know, perfect the style of play. It would be a massive shock for it not to be yourselves against Cove. I mean, if either of you were to slip up to the team in fourth or fifth, it'd be kind of farcical, because you're miles ahead of whoever will finish fourth and fifth. And then it's just a massive one between the two of you to see potentially which one of you goes to take on Johnny's Galway.
People are kind of like, I don't know, Baz Murphy might be listening in. I think Baz was saying during the week to us, like, Galway will definitely beat the team. You know, there's absolutely no guarantee if Galway United end up second last that they'll win that playoff. And obviously, you're talking about present trajectory at the moment. We're at 26 games. Galway United are, you know, 10 games from now, it could be a different scenario. But right now, this Galway United team will be no banker whatsoever to beat any of them teams.
Our attacking side of the game was actually very strong as well. Unfortunately, we lost Daniel Kinsella-Bishop a few minutes before halftime. He was doing very well tonight. His hamstring is softly, that's not as bad as it may look. So King Curtis is going to be the one stepping up. But our attacking side of things with Billy Justin now coming in, Connor Knight's been doing well, Keane Dawes, a little engine in midfield, Sean Brennan as well, if he can get back to his full form. Like, we're a good prospect going forward. It's just defensively, I still feel nervy about us. Tonight was another one as well, where maybe it just feels like we're maybe a bit too easy to create chances against. So if we can keep ourselves solid, but I say, like, if it comes to Galway, we'll be kind of like backs to the wall, hit them on the counter-attack. And I feel like we can't get them on that.
One draw from 25 games as well.
Yeah, two late winners. I don't even know how we've gone only one draw. And that was the last second goal against Dundalk as well.
Magic.
It's crazy, but we're in a good space right now.
Billy's a serious player on, isn't he?
Oh, he's something else. And to get him on the contract as well is huge for the club, no matter what. So we'll see how long we keep hold of him for, but he is something else.
Has he signed a contract recently?
Yeah, he signed him. Him and Keane Doyle have signed extensions this week, so... That's huge for the club.
I didn't realise that. That is absolutely super work on their behalf, in fairness, yeah.
Yeah, so him, and then we have two young lads as well signing pro contracts, Christiana Bramley and Flynn Ryan, so...
Class.
Yeah, things are looking good, and maybe we're preparing for a big push because we have Sean Brennan on a multi-year as well. So things are kind of shaping up for next year, whether it's going to be in the Premier or the First Division. I say it's more likely going to be first, but you always have to hope and dream.
Brave, massive potential as well, Cameron. Sorry, like Brave,
definitely possible.
Brave have a big. The team that is basically Dublin or right beside Dublin, which Drogheda nearly is, but the team that's near Dublin for the Dublin-based players that isn't in the Premier Division should have a major, major advantage in terms of pulling power. And if you can get Justin Ferrazzi to Bray, like when Justin Ferrazzi was playing for Shamrock Rovers, like he looked like he had the world at his feet. Like genuinely, he was that good in Europe. And I know it hasn't worked out for him so far, but like Bray going forward have serious, serious upside. And a lot of people are like, oh, of course, City go down, they'd bounce straight back. It's not as straightforward as that if Bray are in the First Division next season.
Yeah, we have a good pull as well because we're able to loan in players from Rovers, Pats. Like, they seem to like sending their players out to us. There was one player I was kind of thinking maybe we should be going for as well, is Billy Hayes. But Pats sent him out to us, get him men's football as well.
Mm.
Like, he would have been one of the players I think we can go for as well. But we've good pulling power because of where we are. And like now the philosophy of giving these young lads a chance, I'm sure like the likes of Rowers, Bowes, Pats would be looking at us, send their players out for men's football. So they'll definitely get a chance. And a few of them are stepping up, like Barkley is going to be in contention for the Pats team next year. He's a very good midfielder. Mm. He's one name I think of off the top of my head. And we have Britton as well on the wide, I think he is.
Great stuff, Owen. Thanks for jumping on.
No matter. Thanks.
Cheers. Take it easy. We will go. We've got Gavin Smith waiting and Seb Lennon is around as well. I just want to go to Shane Kennedy because I do want proof that he came back from Baku in one piece. Good evening, Shane. How are you?
Yeah, right, lads. No, we didn't make it over there in fashion.
Oh, well.
No, we didn't, no. Hopefully I couldn't go without one. It was too far. Some of the lads got about three flights over, so
It's quite literally a tough place to go.
Yeah, no, saving myself probably for a playoff. Unfortunately not, but I heard it was a good trip from a lot of them, and I won't even make tomorrow because he's a tournament in Belfast there on Sunday, so that'll be the first league game of the season we'd have missed, but that's why he's up in Belfast there. But one thing I will say before we go on to Shales for a second is something that I watched, and it happened with Conor McCormick there a few weeks ago down in Galway, and I watched that Bowles game tonight, and like, there's nothing in the laws of the game to say that it's a head injury. It's only if the referee thinks it's a serious injury. And the amount of players now that are going down with niggles in their chest and they're holding their head. Now, fair play to Conor McCormick and John Caulfield at the time. Now, I know they get, you're going to say whether it's so. I know they used all their subs. But Ryan Brennan must have done it about three times today. And like, referees need to be aware of that. Like, he's not going down injured with a head injury, but they're under the cosh after 10 minutes of pressure in their own box. And he's holding his head looking for, oh, we must stop the game. Like,
Shane, you're so on the button here. Like, you're so on. And like, the two games tonight, the combined injury time was nearly 20 minutes. Like, it's actually becoming a joke. Like, they're going to have to cut the halves to 40 minutes each. There's so much extra time because of this nonsense. Like, the Conor McCormick thing in Galway, like, I'm a Galway United fan. I didn't particularly like what happened there, but I can see why it happened. But now it's becoming a joke. And games are taking far too long, especially when, like, you've two fairly boring games tonight that were dragged the life out of them by this sort of stuff. Like, Drogheda were ultimately, were constantly trying to kill the game, and to be fair, Bowes know the same.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing about being bored, and you're trying to grow the league, and I watched it tonight, and that's not going to grow the league. I know Drogheda do what they need to do, like, but yeah, that's another story. Like, the league ain't going to grow watching that, like, but fair play to them, that's not a dig at Drogheda, obviously, but yeah, the fine and the head injuries is definitely something the officials need to get hold of, because as I said, there's nothing in the, they used to do refereeing myself, and there's nothing in the laws of the game to say it's a head injury. It's only if you think it's a serious injury. And the Chris Forrest, I think, going back to our game against Pats, in my opinion, the game should have been stopped. Forrest was clearly injured and he was out for weeks after that, where he clearly see he was suffering, and you've got Ryan Brennan going down holding his head after getting the knee in the back leg. But yeah, we can move on to us if you want.
Well, all of the years ago, and it might have been USA 94 when this came in, this was a very, very, you know, sensible decision that they brought in at the time. And people have this weird thing of trialing things, like we've seen with the additional extra time in World Cups of all places. But the idea back then was about 30 odd years ago was that if a player is injured, take him off the pitch and play on. Just take him off the pitch and play on. And if he's injured, it's his bad luck. Play 10 against 11. Just get on with it. And like, that had a, there was a lot of spirit to that. Now it's gone the other way, where the game is stopped. Then like, it's just stop, stop, stop. There's massive delays. He's probably not even injured in the first place. And games are taking too long now. Like, you've a fairly boring 1-0 tonight. Like, I didn't mind watching the game, but like, I'm thinking of all this League of Ireland, and you're a bit the same, Shane, as a neutral tonight. If you're taking of all the buzz, like, there's a great buzz about like all these new people going to Daily Mount. If you go to the game tonight, you're there all night for a 1-0, and you've all this nonsense as well. I wouldn't be very attracted by it.
Yeah, 32 fouls in your game tonight, Johnny. Holy shit. That's not going to help the spectacle either, is it?
No, and a lot of yellow cards as well. And like, it was not a good game at all. Now, in fairness, they're the two worst teams in the league at the moment, so you're not expecting that. But like, there was 7 minutes of injury time, I think. I'm trying to remember now, 7-1 and 6 in the other. And the referee in United had a half chance right at the end, which was, I think, at least nearly a minute over. But like, these games are like, for you're talking about the kids of tomorrow, the attention spans they have. They're not going to be spending like 3 hours watching a football game that's nil all because of all these, like, the additional time is, for me, is just, it's dragging the life out of games at the moment.
Now, just like to give the devil's advocate side of things, when it's a head injury now, I think it's probably tough for the referees in some way, just because of the new data around concussion and what we've seen in terms of players and dementia.
Sorry, the only thing is they're not head injuries. Ryan Brennan has clearly gone down holding his back, and he's just faking holding his head. Like,
No, absolutely. I'm not saying that
this is the problem, though, Cameron. You don't know.
Tourism. But when it's a head injury, I think you do have to, or if someone goes down clutching their head, not that I'm saying that's what happened tonight, but when it does happen, like, you have to err on the side of caution. I can see it being a very impossible situation for referees to go on, because you could cause someone some fairly long-standing damage if you don't stop the game. Well, so like, that's just all I'll say.
That's absolutely true. And if the referee is in sort of doubt as to whether there's a severe head injury, he can absolutely stop the game. My point is now, it's getting so ridiculous. If you're injured and you're obviously not the goalie, and this is why it's been the goalie, if you're injured, get off the pitch and play on. That's the simplest solution. Straight off the pitch, 10v11, play on. You can deal with your injury off the pitch. We want to get on with the game. We don't want to bore everyone to death here.
No, speaking of...
Just the key thing to make the point before I go off is... there's nothing in the laws of the game to say it has to be a head injury. So that's a myth. It's a serious injury. Mm. So the referee can deem whether it's serious, and an elbow in the back and someone finding an injury after he's cleared the ball after a team that they've been in their own box for 10 minutes is not very difficult to read the game. Like, that's just what I would say. Mm. We're going on the shells. We've a massive game tomorrow. And it looks like hopefully we made some good signings in the window. Part of me does think, which is another thing with the league we deal as a whole, is we get this player in who comes in from another team for 6 months and he plays well and the teams up the top four or five go and take him. There's numerous players like that, and how good is Mbang off Cork, how good is Jack Henry Francis? Like, we've found a few quid of him, even Douglas James Taylor, like, he'd 6 months of trot at it and he hasn't played much this season. I'm happy to make the point now instead of making it when Bo was signing Taylor. But like, we do as a league, just go and take these players up. Yeah, Kazim off Pats to Galway. Had a good run for Galway, like, so I'm wondering. But tomorrow was massive, and that result tonight probably helps us. And then going into Wednesday, I watched the two Croatian matches and they gave us a great chance of doing a lot better than we did against Carabag with that number 10 being suspended. I don't know if he's suspended for both games because he got a serious foul play red card instead of a Sean Gannon boiling conduct type thing. So, he scored about 10 million and he's not playing next week. So,
were you heartened by what you saw in the second leg against Carabag? Because, like, it was only 1-0. And it was a pretty good performance. There were definitely some chances there for Shells to maybe nick one and go 1-0.
Yeah, I think Joey's switched it up a little bit during the game. Now, it's hard to say because it was 3-0 down and were they going through the motions? I suppose Marco will probably learn about diving into a little tricky player. And that's something you can take away from it. I just enjoyed having the centre-halves back. I said it last week. Mm. Temple and Bowen looked fairly solid. Like, Temple read a lot of defensive crosses fairly well. And the one player that gives away a poor decision from a cross is Ledwidge, who's not a centre-half. Like, I enjoyed watching centre-half playing centre-half. But yeah, no, you were. But it's a hard game to read because it was a game where they didn't look like they wanted to commit too much and we rested a few players.
Even Shells are hard to read, Shane, aren't they? Because, like, if you look since Joey's come in, what is it? Like, 6 games, 2 in the league, 2 against Linfield. These 2 games, it's still hard enough to know where they're at, kind of?
Well, the Linfield game has got enhanced now since they beat that Lithuanian team last night. So, like, we batted Linfield over 2 legs and I'm not going to buy into they've had an extra 2 games and, like, maybe they just changed things because something didn't work for Healy, and I think Offer played for them who didn't play against us. So they obviously seen something. That result got enhanced and the 2 performances got enhanced last night. I think Joey's doing well and in these tactically quick things at the right time.
Shane, that's not an easy game for you tomorrow night.
No,
slowly got Ryan O'Tane can't play, which is good though. And Sligo are on form, and I think Joey will probably play the conditions a bit better than what Duffer used to, which is something that the Bowles fans said earlier on. They've just done the same thing. I think Joey might, which is probably the reason why Sean Boyd didn't play on Wednesday, because he might play tomorrow because it's a pitch that suits him, where Meepo probably won't play tomorrow. So it'd be interesting. But yeah, I think, yeah, it'd be a hard game. They're in form. And like, I watched the game last week and Cork battled them for the first, whatever, a few minutes, the first half. The pitch down there is not great either, but it's a big game. And I think tonight's results will have helped the game be more entertaining because both sides nearly have to go and win, in the sense that Sligo have nothing to lose by going at it. Like, there's no point in them sitting back, and we need to win. We can't afford to draw, I don't think.
Yeah, well, we'll probably we'll hear about that game Wednesday and whatever else besides, probably from you next week, Shane. Thanks a million for jumping on.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
Gavin Smith, good evening.
Good evening.
What did you make of tonight, Gavin?
Before I talk about tonight, I want to talk to Johnny about his beloved Galway.
God.
A lot of the Galway fans want Coffey sacked. Do you think that's fair, or do you think that's a hard thing to say?
Hi, Gavin. Yeah, in the context of the circumstances at the moment, it's not even an issue. And I feel this is probably the most challenging time in John's career in terms of kind of what's going on in the slides. And obviously, Ollie not being there at the moment. So John Caulfield, since Ollie Horgan has come in, this has been an outstanding Galway United team. At the moment, things are quite bad, but like that wouldn't even remotely be on the agenda.
And do you think the Coleman brothers will support Caulfield today of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they wouldn't have. I understand that they get on well. Luke Cormack gets on well with John Caulfield, and at the moment it's kind of you even see Cork City fans. It's probably only people paying season ticket holders that are at their game. So I doubt many people are paying 25 quid to see a team that have almost no hope, but they still kind of rallied behind the team, those who were there tonight. And Galway United are going to need that, because crowds have been on the slide as well.
And like, I think the game against Delgo on September 16th will be the biggest Connacht derby in the league history, not only for Galway United but also for Sligo Rovers. If Galway were to lose that, I think the club in serious trouble.
100%. Like, the Galway United's next game is Rovers Sunday week, Shamrock Rovers. That's 5 o'clock at home. Kind of hard to know how that'll go. Then, you know, Derry City at home. On current form, we'll be probably losing both of them. Then Shells away. And then that's like a Rovers game on the 12th of September. But the Cork City game tonight was that game that was slotted in. I was like, well, that's the game that, you know, you'd presumably, you know, you'd get back to winning ways. But I'd have to say, I wasn't confident at all we'd win tonight the way we were playing. And the run of games we have now, there's a lot going on at the club. It's a very, very difficult time for the players and for John. And it's very challenging. And they actually worked as hard as they worked their socks off tonight, just couldn't score.
And well, you expect him to be sort of Devon. Do you expect Galway to get far in the cup? Or do you think that we get knocked out in the next round?
No, this, like, the Salt Hill, the two non-league teams, the Stars have aligned, and the four all, like, the Premier Division teams getting knocked out left, right and centre now in the next round give United a chance. But I think it's way down the list of priorities at the moment.
And
Gavin, just very quickly, because we've a few more callers to get through, what did you make of tonight's game?
I have to give credit to Kevin Doherty. A lot of boys fans saying, oh, draw that, don't play football, or it's rooted to us. Look, Kevin Doherty's done an amazing job with Drogheda. I expected them to be where Sligo are, but Drogheda does doing fantastic, great this season. And if they could keep the form going, I could see them finishing the top three. But as for Bowes, well, it's a tough one to take, but we have to bounce back next week against Celtic Talker Park if we want to challenge for European football. But look, I'm not angry with the performance. We played very good stuff. It's just Drogheda, a tough team to break down, and that's credit to Kevin Doherty.
They were brilliantly organised tonight. Jesus Christ, like, what's that, 3 shutouts now against Bowes. And as much as Colm Whelan is kind of struggling a bit, that game just wasn't made for him. Bowes have, like, but Dawson Devoy there, they've so much talent. And it was like that Ross Tierney chance, which he didn't do much wrong, really. It's a good save from Dennison. Apart from that, like, they're as Gavin says, Drogheda were brilliantly set up tonight, considering all the challenges they've had this season.
Yeah.
And this one we've had a love to make on Drogheda. I think I think that game in the cup against Davy will tell not if either one of them will get far in the competition. But I think no teams fancy going up to Lambeth or Salton Park for the rest of the season, including both of the final of the season, because that ground is very tough to go to with a fantastic atmosphere up in Drogheda. And it's great to see Drogheda doing so well because they were waiting up for so many people.
Yeah, no, it's very much not on anybody's must visit list this year from an opposition perspective. Gavin, thank you so much for jumping on tonight. How about we go to Seb Lennon, because he'll give us the other side of what happened tonight between Drogheda and Bohemians up in Dady Mount. Good evening, Seb. How are things?
Well, lads, how are you?
Not too bad at all. I mean, the term smash and grab has been thrown around a lot in terms of tonight's victory, but what did you make of it?
Smash and grab. I mean, smash and grab is when, like, I mean, they're all over. So you can have all the ball you want, but, like, I mean, they didn't create a whole host of chances. I don't know. I just had a fantastic defensive performance, as always, from Drogheda. But, I mean, the smash and grab thing, I mean, yeah, that's grand. Like, you had both had all the ball, but, I mean, did they actually do much with it? Obviously, Devoy, he's some player. Tierney, Clark, fantastic players, playing all these intricate passes. And I mean, I thought we defended extremely well. I didn't think Luke Dennison had a huge amount to do except for that save at the start of the evening. I don't personally agree with the smash and grab. I mean, I thought we played half decent. And this whole thing about, you know, Drogheda and injuries and wasting time and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know, like, it's very hard from a Drogheda perspective. I mean, there's not a lot else we can do. You know, we have a certain caliber of players. It's what we're good at. And I mean, it's what, like, you're going to get it every week, you know, type way. So, and every week it's teams, Drogheda, you know, sitting back behind the ball. Yeah, like, it's going to be behind you. That's what you're going to get. So it's up to them to find a way. And I mean, I thought we just played really well. Like, Connor Keeley there, that whole back five have been absolutely immense. And yeah, we are delighted and great away support and just, good form now.
The other thing, the goal, sorry, Shane, the goal they got, like, that Josh Thomas was, not many players in the league would actually get that goal. Like, he had to outpace him. It was Cornwall was chasing him down. He had to be very strong. He then had to finish it. And this is your recruitment again. He comes off the bench 63 minutes. Like, Kev and Dara, they are just absolutely outstanding at everything they've been doing at Drogheda.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I mean, we were, like, 100%. It was fantastic. Like, Thomas, come on. He's been injured for now, like, a good few months since the start of the season, nearly. So we're delighted to have him back. It's only, like, a new signing for us. And he was absolutely fantastic. And that ball from Keeley split the two defenders and the pace from Thomas then as well. So, I mean, couldn't ask for more. And obviously, like, we are a counter-attacking team. There's not going to be many a time where we're the team that has the ball and stuff like that. You know, we're always going to play like that. You know, it's nearly like you're set up to be defensive in the first place and win your duels. And I thought we'd done that as much as possible this evening. So, I just thought Keeley showed his quality there this evening. I don't really know what Kenny was thinking last season, but my God, he has been absolutely phenomenal for us. And he's great. I just know from him being close with the team and stuff like that, he's a great person to have around and stuff like that, and his leadership quality. So, we're happy out.
Cameron, I feel it's important at this stage for me to clarify that the exact sentence I said was, this can't be described as a smash and grab. So I'm with you, Seb. They did have plenty of possession, but exactly, like, he really only had the one proper save to make. The defending was top class. And it just followed the pattern of a Drogheda game. Like, we say the same thing. It's only a problem. Having 25% of the ball is only a problem when it was your ambition to have 50% of the ball. Having 25% of the ball when it was always your plan to have 25% of the ball is just brilliant management and brilliant play. And they've become the absolute masters of it. Like, they know how to play without the ball. They know how to bring teams onto them. Like, it's Leicester-esque, I suppose, in terms of the Leicester Premier League winning side from way back, in terms of, like, you're kind of reliant on the opposition continuously not paying you enough respect, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
To keep playing the way Drogheda do. But because they're Drogheda, the opposition will always look at the team sheet and go, yeah, we've got a better 11 than they have. You know, let's
throw exactly. Ivy at
them and push and I mean, on.
They do, you know, they do. Like both tonight, I mean, unbelievable. Like, I just can't get over. Like, Clark, Tierney and Dawson Devoy, I just think are phenomenal. Like, you could even see it. Like, they're playing passes. I mean, our midfield, like, no, and I love the lads in our midfield, but, I mean, couldn't dream of playing.
It's funny, so, Seb, like, Dawson Devoy, he's not only the best player in the league at the moment, he's actually the best player by a distance.
100%. I thought we were only chatting there on the way home. Like, he's a league above everyone else. He's in his own thing there. And you have Tierney and Clark were nearly playing in between then. So, like, our centre-backs had to decide whether they were going to jump or not. And it was just, like, they're phenomenal players individually. And I just thought, like, I think both have been great, obviously, recently enough. So it's great that we were able to, like, that's what you're going to get from us. You know, you're going to get a defensive team. And like, as you said, Shane, like, I mean, all the lads that Kevin has on set up, that every one of them knows their jobs, their position on the pitch and stuff like that. And, like, I mean, that's three wins against Bowes this season. And as someone said there, what's a 3-1-0 wins in the away to Bowes there? I mean, like, it's quite standard what you're going to get from us. Like, I just always think that we don't sometimes, when you weigh up against Bowes or Rovers and stuff like that, we don't have the same caliber of players. So Kevin plays to the strengths of the team, and that's exactly what you're going to get from us. And every single one of them work hard for each other. So that's all you can ask for, I suppose.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Not a lot bad.
Seb Lennon's words, write us off. Go on, do it. See if we care. Fair play to you, Seb. Thanks, Flynn, for jumping on tonight.
Thanks, lads.
All right, we'll try take two with Mark Turner, who's come back on the line there. Good evening, Mark. Welcome to LOI Late Night. Hey, there we go. How are you keeping?
Yeah, all good. Yeah, all good. Hold on. I'm just trying to get this cigar out of my mouth and my slippers off my feet. How did things go tonight, anyway?
Not too bad. I mean, much more exciting than the offering that was given at Tala Stadium, based on the eyewitness accounts I've heard from the last 24 hours. It was were you at the game last night?
I was indeed, yeah. But what are you saying? We didn't get through in the next round of Europe? Or
oh, no.
It's just a little smile. So what was that remark about?
Oh, it was just a poor game. Like, it just felt like it was a complete non-event.
It was a poor game, yeah. But listen, we're talking about tonight here. Are we talking about League of Ireland football, or what are we talking about?
No, we're talking about all League of Ireland sides. What's your thoughts on tonight, or what do you have to get?
My thoughts on tonight, as I just said, I'm trying to just get this cigar out of my mouth and slippers off my feet. Sitting at home watching balls tonight.
Yeah, it's done, is it?
It was done before tonight, but this is just it's done now, yeah, done. But no, I thought Drogheda were excellent tonight. Very good defensively, and then on the break, they were excellent. And that's what Drogheda do. They've done that to us a few times, you know what I mean? So, but it was just great to watch.
Mark, what do you think of your chances in the next round in Europe?
I think I'm not going to jinx us, as Jason Maloney would say, but I'm hopeful that we'll get through the next round of Europe, and then it's all about the playoff. But there's a few tough tires that we could face in the playoff, but it's all about next round against Balkany, and we'll see where we go from there.
You were you'd have to be reasonably happy with current form, and, like, again, I know we keep going on about it, but, like, the squad depth is just absolutely ridiculous. And the great thing for me, the great thing with that is, like, when you look at the squad depth and you look at the lead that you've built up, like, he doesn't have to take any risks here, Mark, whatsoever, does he, with the league games? Like, if the guy is going to start midweek in the European game, just give him the league game off. Like, it's brilliant.
I would say that, like, we have it. Very big game against Derry now on Sunday. That this isn't, if we go on and win that, we're in a great position. But if we go on and lose that, we're still under pressure. So we need to fucking play our cards right here and see what happens. But we'll take Europe when it comes around next Thursday, and we'll see where we go from there. But Balkany's not going to be easy. They've got some good results in Europe over the years. So we need to take that seriously. But it's all about just taking one game at a time and we go from there. But it's been a lot of stop start for Rovers in recent weeks. Like, we haven't played many proper competitive games in the recent weeks, so we just need to take one game at a time and we'll take them from there.
Is that a worry for you, Mark? That, like, I mean, the league was still there towards the end of the year last year, and it feels like how Rovers went about that and tried to maybe snatch it from the jaws of defeat really helped them in Europe as they went on. Like, the results that they managed to get subsequently were as a result of them playing competitive, like, high-stakes football right up until the end of October, beginning of November. So is there a bit of a concern that if it's all done, like, next week, that suddenly there'll be a real tapering off, and that level, if you manage to get Conference League football, it might be hard to sustain that, much harder than last year?
No, I don't think we're going to drop off that much. Like, as I said, over the last month or so it's either been stop-start, regarding league football, European football. We've played a few friendlies. So, as of now, we're going to be playing Derry on Sunday. Then we're going straight into Europe against Balkany. And with constant games. So that will work in our favour. And everybody knows Rovers clicking the gear in times like this. So, like, that's a positive for me. Last year, we shouldn't have won in the league. But we are, like, what was it? McElhinney, when he dived for that penal. That was in between us winning the league. Do you know what I mean? So, like, listen, we are so close to winning the league last year. Shells were, like, I don't think they deserved to win the league last year, but they did. Fair play to them. But this year, we won't make any mistakes, and that's what's going to happen.
Good stuff, Mark. Good stuff. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, I will indeed. Yeah, balls are shy.
Jesus, tell us how you really feel. Thanks a million, Mark.
That's how I really feel. Good luck, lads.
The ironing is delicious.
There you go. What a lovely note to end it on tonight's LOI late night. Shane, Keegan, I'll let you get back to all together now. We're at least hearing it from your backyard.
Cheers, Cameron.
Johnny Ward, I'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Cameron. Top up.
League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore and Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the fact, be drink aware, visit drinkaware.ie. I almost forgot to go through what we have in store over the next few days. So as we mentioned, it is on Sunday. You've got two games. You've got Shamrock Rovers against Derry at 7 o'clock. Before that, Waterford taking on Pats at 4 in the Premier Division. There's one game in the Premier Division tomorrow, the men's, that is. It's Sligo Rovers against Shelburne, as we mentioned there with Shane Kennedy. Full round of fixtures in the women's Prem tomorrow, DLRWays against Bohemians. You've Waterford taking on Sligo Rovers. Cork City against Shelburne. Wexford against Shamrock Rovers. Galway United and Piemont United rounding off the day's action. The big game, from a women's LOI perspective, tomorrow is in Lissiwallen when Athlone Town take on Agram Zagreb in their Champions League first round final. It'll be a really, really good occasion, as it seemed to have been when they got over the line against Cardiff in midweek. So very, very best of luck to them. And we will talk to you again, probably with an array of talking points from Europe, LOI, and besides. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We'll talk to you again next week. Take care.
LOI Late Night on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol-free. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.